Reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I'm going to invite Brother John to speak to us on the subject, Jesus Will Return. Brother John.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning, everyone. Before we look at those verses that Mark read for us, just like to say a couple of things, first of all. And firstly, it's not a question. Subject title is not a question. Jesus will return. It's a statement. He will return. Now, the entire source of our remarks this morning are taken from this book, the Bible. This is the only place that we can go to read about these wonderful things that God has left on record for us. This is God's word. It's his message to mankind, and it speaks of his plan and purpose with the earth and with us as individuals on the earth. What God wants us to do, he wants us to read it, to believe it, and he wants us to use it to guide our lives in a way that pleases him. And if we do these things, he offers us a great reward, even eternal life in his kingdom on the earth at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, secondly, we currently live in a terrible world. Not only with this pandemic that's been going on for 2 years plus now, but there are earthquakes. You hear of volcanoes erupting in certain places. There are famines, perhaps caused by drought in some places and flooding in other places. There's tornadoes, hurricanes. It seems there's always something happening every single day. The world is full of troubles. Now, I think that we can consider ourselves very lucky to live in this country with what's going on in the rest of the world. As we said, the world is full of troubles. There is violence and corruption. There are wars all over the place. Russia has 100,000 troops on the border of the Ukraine, ready to go in at any time. They've also just recently gone into Kazakhstan. They've sent troops into there. They've got fleets of ships in the Black Sea and off Syria. In fact, Russia's making their presence felt throughout the whole world at this present time. And I believe I read during the week that even one of their submarines collided with one of the UK's naval vessels in the Atlantic. Now, to add to that, I read some years ago that their leader, President Putin, said that they had developed an invincible missile. I'm not actually sure what that means. Whatever it means, to be honest with you, I'm not really bothered, because history is littered with individuals claiming something is invincible or indestructible. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because all those individuals are doing is challenging God. Consider just over 50, 60, or perhaps even 70 years ago, the Arab nations thought that they were invincible. They tried to wipe out the Jews. but they failed. Why? Because it was not in God's purpose. In the Second World War, Hitler thought his army was invincible and he tried to take over the world. But again, he failed. Why? It was not in God's purpose. And so we could actually go right the way back through the ages with different empires, but they were all brought down. Ultimately, they are not in God's purpose. So we don't really have to worry about Russia and Mr. Putin, because Mr. Putin is just a man. Let's listen to what the Lord God says. So with that in mind, let's look at those verses that Mark read for us this morning. Now, we're not going to look at many scriptures this morning. We're going to concentrate on the ones that Mark has read for us. So we'll probably look at two, maybe three other places in scripture, but I don't want to bombard you this morning with different verses. Just lay for you perhaps a foundation where you can pick up this book, take it off your bookshelf. If you're tuning in for the first time today online and you've got a Bible on your bookshelf, take it down, open it, and start to read it, because it's the only way you're going to learn about God's plan and purpose and his message to us as individuals. So chapter one of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles records the events. It's a catalogue of the events in the first century of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ as they spread the good news, the gospel message throughout the world in that area. And in chapter one of the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus had been crucified previously. He'd been raised from the dead to eternal life by his Father, the Lord God. And he came and appeared to his disciples. In fact, verse one says, the former treatise, or it's relating in words of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until it says, verse two, the day that he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So he appeared to his apostles. Verse three, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, as after his death on the cross and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, and he was seen of them for 40 days. It wasn't just a glimpse in moment in time. It was 40 days that Jesus met with his followers, the apostles, and he spoke of things pertaining, verse 3 says, to the kingdom of God. Now, do you think they understood that? Well, quite clearly, not only they, but many in Israel understood about a kingdom of God, because many centuries before, there was a great kingdom in Israel. And as we heard last week from our speaker, Mark, that kingdom reached its height under King David, and then King David's son Solomon. But to King David, the Lord God made specific promises concerning a descendant who would come and sit upon David's throne and rule. And of that descendant of David, his kingdom was going to last forever. So these things weren't a mystery that Jesus spoke about to his followers. They were well known in Israel. Many were waiting for that savior to appear, for the coming Messiah, to re-establish that kingdom to Israel. And in fact, the disciples, his followers, said to him in verse 6 of this chapter, "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" But what did Jesus say? Well, he said in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." So he didn't say, no, it's never going to happen, or no, it's going to happen immediately. He said to them, it will happen, but it's not for you to know the exact time. So, in fact, it's not a question of God waiting for the world to be ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather God having decided upon a day where he will send Jesus back to the earth. We will turn to it in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and at the 31st verse, this is the Apostle Paul speaking at Mars Hill. And in his speech there, he said in verse 31, we'll just look at verse 31. He said, "Because he," that is God, "hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man," and the Apostle Paul is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "by that man whom God hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead." So the Apostle Paul is actually saying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is the assurance that God has given to men and women, in that he has set a day when Jesus will return to the earth to re-establish the kingdom to Israel. The Apostle Peter also says that Jesus will return. We won't actually turn to it. It's in, for your reference, it's in the second of letter of Peter. It's in the third chapter, and it's the 10th verse. And what Peter is implying in this verse, he says that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. So it's a day that's been set, but not revealed. And Jesus will come as a thief in the night. The implication is that we, as individuals, have to be ready. Stands to reason, doesn't it, that a thief wouldn't let you know when he's planning to break into your house. Otherwise, you'd be sitting there waiting for him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ does not tell us the date of his return. But the scriptures are full of references. I haven't verified it myself, but I've heard it in a previous talk. In the New Testament alone, it was said there are 318 references to the return of Christ to the earth. So it's not just one or two. 318 references that give us an assurance that Jesus will come back to the earth. But so far, perhaps I'm hoping that you'll agree that there's nothing that we've said or looked at that has been difficult to understand. I think the scriptures there that we've read together are very plain, very simple, very clear. Jesus is to physically return to the earth. And there are many other prophecies throughout the scriptures, which is not our subject today, that we can look at that speak of the nearness of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we only have to look around the world today and we can look at some of those prophecies to see that his return is actually very imminent. And so those things that we must do to read and understand God's word is very vital that we take action now, that we don't delay if we want that wonderful opportunity of living forever on this earth, a beautified earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we said, Jesus is to physically return to the earth. Back in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld the apostles, the followers of Jesus, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He is coming back to restore the kingdom to Israel, to fulfill the promises that God has made to a number of men and women, his faithful servants and prophets. And again, we're not going to look at them today. We're not going to, as we said, bombard you with information. We're just going to try and lay a foundation for you to look at the Bible yourselves and see the truth contained in it. And those promises, Mark spoke about those last week, those promises to David. It's in the Old Testament, in the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, speaks of David's descendants sitting upon his throne and ruling forever. God also made promises to a man called Abraham that his descendant would inherit the land that Abraham was in. And ultimately, he would rule over the whole earth. Because God hasn't created this world for no reason at all. God's formed this earth to be inhabited, by men and women that believe his word, that give him pleasure in serving him, and that have faith in him. And that one day, the Lord God's glory will fill the whole earth, whereas it currently, this world, as we said, is in a terrible state with violence and corruption throughout the whole world. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to sit upon the throne of his ancestor, King David, and he is going to rule a conquered world in righteousness and peace. And as we can see, David's throne was not in heaven, but it was on the earth, in Jerusalem. Jesus is not going to rule from heaven. He is going to rule on the earth, sitting upon that throne of David. Jesus is to be king over all the earth. In fact, we'll finish our remarks with looking at one last scripture And it's in the 18th chapter of the gospel record of John, where Jesus himself says to the Roman governor Pilate that he is a king. We'll read from verse 33 of John chapter 18. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus replied, verse 34, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, you know, is this what you think? Or have you been told this by other people? Jesus answered him in verse 36. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. Now that word, the word world there is the word cosmos or order or arrangement of things. In other words, just like to his disciples, his followers in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was saying it wasn't the right time. So my kingdom was not of this age, Jesus is saying. If my kingdom were of this age, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Well, Jesus is to be king. That is the truth. And you can hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ if you open the Bible and read through the gospel messages, the gospel writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which record the life of Jesus, his crucifixion, and his resurrection to eternal life. Jesus is to come back to the world, and very soon, and he will establish that kingdom. The choice for us now is, do we believe these things? If we do, we have to take action. The choice is yours. It's either life in the kingdom of God or to perish like the rest of the world who are in violence and corruption at this time. Thank you for listening.